The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on July 15th, 1995 at Bhaktivedanta Manor, UK.
Shri Guru Vaishnavam Scha.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended in this world in the role of his own devotee. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes how Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, the divine couple who eternally exchange the sweetest of all opulences, supreme love for one another in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan, have descended in one form. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. Lord Sri Krishna was thinking that I am the supreme worshipable source of all bliss, but the bliss that Sri Radharani experiences and the ecstasy she manifests upon seeing me is something beyond my comprehension. Therefore, in order to understand the nature of her love, in order to understand the happiness, the bliss that she experiences, and to understand what it was about himself that so much attracted her, Krishna appeared in this world with the bhav of his divine pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. Simultaneously, it was the time for the Yuga Avatar to teach the recommended process of religion for this age of Kali, which is the congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world to fulfill the internal and external purposes of the Lord. And how did he do so? By taking the role of a devotee, he taught us by his own example how to perfect our lives. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained systematically from the most fundamental principles that you are not this body, you are the eternal soul, the nature of the laws of karma, the nature of material life, spiritual life, how time affects the living entity, and what is the nature of God, and all of the interrelationships. And the conclusion of Gita, Sarva Dharman Purityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishami Masucha, that we should abandon all varieties of religion and we should surrender to Krishna. And he explained what is the process of surrendering. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyashim nam namaskuru mam evaishyashi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage to me. In this way, my promise to you is you will come to me without fail. This is the last word of Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all religion, to always remember Krishna. But this age of Kali Yuga is so much plagued with the disease of the desire for selfish, personal, egoistic enjoyment. And on the basis of that, there is so much conflict, so much hypocrisy, that practically no one could understand or follow Krishna's simple teachings in the Gita. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the role of his own devotee to teach by his example how to surrender to Krishna, how to always remember Krishna. And we find his life and teachings in such important monumental literatures as Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Sri Chaitanya Mangal, and other great literatures. And in these scriptures, the basic theme that constantly appears is how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is interacting with his devotees, and how the devotees are interacting with one another. Vaishnava relationships is the very heart of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Because Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu taught congregational chanting of the holy name, Sankirtan. Samyak means together. Sankirtan means to glorify Krishna together. We need one another. And Sankirtan is not only when we come in the temple for the Mangal Arti or for the Gaura Arti, but Sankirtan is something, is a mood that devotees have to live with amongst each other throughout the day, in fact, throughout their lives. Unless we develop these types of relationships of serving one another, respecting one another, gradually learning to trust and love one another, then our kirtans will be very hollow and superficial. So we find Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing ecstatically with all of his devotees, with their arms raised, loudly calling out the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But throughout the day and throughout the night, their love for one another, their concern for one another, their service to one another was the prominent aspect of their spirituality. Because they knew that this is the singular, only process by which we can please Krishna. And only by pleasing Krishna can we possibly be liberated from all the problems and dilemmas of our life. I'll give a very practical example that I have just witnessed. I'm sure all of you have heard to some extent, but the New Vrindavan community, in which Smarahari Prabhu at one time was one of the most prominent celebrated personalities, but later on, after he left, things became an ocean of problems, an ocean of unsolvable dilemmas, and recently, like a civil war. And somehow this civil war subsided, and there was a basic direction in the community. Things started to improve, but still so many problems. And one of the problems were the cows were starving, because there's so many, and there's not enough food, and not enough help. And there are so many problems. The economy, how devotees are going to maintain themselves. Grihasthas have no livelihood. I can go on with lists, but I won't bother you. Too many problems. So just recently, we did something which has not been done in about 15 years. Put the best devotees we have, mostly younger devotees, just to full-time take care of the cows. And people were thinking, but there's so many other things that have to be done. But Krishna's Govinda, he's Gopal. Gopal means protector of cows. Govinda means giver of pleasure to cows. They're his devotees. If they're taken care of, then Krishna will be happy. So we put about 8 devotees full-time in the barn, and whatever money we had, we just gave it to the barn. And within a matter of weeks, on every level, people started coming, people started moving in, people came and helped start big businesses, interest-free loans of tens and thousands of dollars were being offered to start projects, and the whole community just began to flourish. Problems that there was such a dilemma, how will we ever solve, were automatically solved just because we put some energy into taking care of the cows. This is how Krishna consciousness works. We can make so many endeavors to solve so many of our problems, but if you just please those who are dear to Krishna, Krishna can solve all problems. He could make miraculous, inconceivable arrangements on every level. But if we do not properly care for Krishna's devotees, then no endeavor, however well thought out and strategic it may be, can ever be successful. It will create only more problems. So Vaishnava relationships are the very essence of Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. To learn the virtue, the supreme virtue, of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. In Sri Chaitanya Mangal, there is a story when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to take sannyas and leave home. And his good wife, Vishnupriya, the night before was pleading with him that, "I have heard this news that you are going to leave me, that you are going to shave your head and become a renunciate. What will become of me? You have come to teach religious principles to the world. What kind of religious principle is this to leave a widowed mother and a helpless wife?" She was only between 14 and 16 years old, alone. "I will not survive." She was pleading, weeping. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great compassion and love, he explained to her, "In this world, everything is an illusion. There are only two truths, service to the Vaishnavas and the holy name of Krishna. And this is where I always reside. I will always be with you." So this is so important to understand, that we have each other, and in serving one another, we have Krishna. We can have realization of Krishna's name. So Vaishnava relationships are actually very simple. The problem is we have become very complicated. The Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is very high. It's very deep. It's very profound. It surpasses all other philosophies. It answers every question, because it's completely transcendental. But realization comes through practical application, pleasing Krishna and pleasing his devotees. Sometimes we become so intellectually inspired by the philosophy that we transcend the position of being decent human beings. We become so transcendental that we transcend just being nice, being good, being caring. This is not our philosophy. Lord Chaitanya was most caring, most loving on every level. And Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he was the embodiment of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy in this world. And what was his example? He would give children cookies. He would not tell them, "You are not this body." And by giving them cookies, they loved him. And by loving him, they were getting Krishna's mercy. That is preaching. And in the early days, when Srila Prabhupada was first beginning this movement, the devotees felt more care and affection from Srila Prabhupada than they did from any other person they ever met in their life. Even more than their own mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters. He loved them on every level. And many of the devotees who came on 26 Second Avenue have explained to us that Srila Prabhupada's accent was very difficult to understand at the beginning. You have to become accustomed to his accent. And when he first came to America, it was more accent. And devotees said that for so many weeks, we could not understand his lectures. But we just wanted to be with him. We just wanted to do whatever he wanted. Because he loved us so much. Because he was so kind. He was so caring. Therefore, when we started to understand whatever he said, we were willing to believe anything he told us. Because anything that comes from the mouth of such a person must be the truth. I'm often inspired by remembrance of the story of one godbrother, Bhagavat Das, during Guru Puja in Mayapur. Guru Puja was going on. Thousands of devotees were chanting Jai Prabhupada and giving garlands and offering arti and chanting so many beautiful songs in his glorification. And this devotee, he had a cut on his foot, and Srila Prabhupada called him over. He wasn't thinking about all the names and all the garlands. He was thinking about the cut on this devotee's foot. He said, "What happened to your foot?" The devotee said, "I cut it." Prabhupada said, "But it may get infected." And Prabhupada reached in his own pocket and took out some rupees and took pen and paper and wrote down a name of a medicine and said, "You buy this medicine, here is the rupees, and make sure you take care." He didn't say, "You're not this body." He says that too. Yes, we must preach, "You're not this body. You're not this mind." But at the same time, we understand that a devotee's body is a facility to be used in Krishna's service. And the body is a means by which we can express our concern and our love for someone in a spiritual way. So therefore, to develop friendships based on actual concern for the spiritual welfare of others, as well as for the welfare of others on every level. When Srila Prabhupada would see people starving, sometimes tears would come to his eyes, and he would say, "Give them prasad, food for the body, the mind, and the soul." So real service to a Vaishnav is service to the body, the mind, and the soul, because everything about a Vaishnav is sacred. And to develop relationships of concern and service, to always be endeavoring to inspire and enliven one another for devotional service, for chanting Krishna's name, for nice sadhana, this is actual love. But if a person doesn't trust that you care about them, they're not going to be inspired by any of your preaching. We have to set the stage by which our preaching and our influence will actually have effect of touching a person's heart. And this was Srila Prabhupada's example. And this is the story of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement throughout history. We were asked to speak about Vaishnav relationships and the family of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada wanted ISKCON to be a worldwide family. That was his dream, and that dream will be fulfilled. And we are so fortunate that we have the precious and sacred opportunity to assist him in this matter. We are all related. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. We are all simultaneously one and different, both as spirit souls, as well as members of this society for Krishna consciousness. And this has to be taken very seriously on all levels. Yad yad acharati sreshtas tad tad evetaro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokastaranu bharatate. Krishna says what the leaders do, the common people naturally follow. If the leaders of our movement have harmonious, loving relationships with each other, naturally, the people following those leaders will also have loving, harmonious relations with each other. If leaders do not trust each other, it will be very difficult for their followers to trust each other. So one of the most important of all responsibilities, especially in this particular time and circumstance within the history of this movement, is that leaders make this a very strong priority in their lives, to set this example. Not only purity in their example, not only strictness in their sadhana, not only accuracy in their presentation of philosophy, but also exemplary behavior amongst each other. And we see within our sampradaya's history what happens when this takes place. A very munificent example is one generation after Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. Many great, great personalities came there. One was Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya went to Vrindavan and he took initiation from Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who received the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his home in Srirangam in South India, and was sent by the Lord to Vrindavan. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, when he met Srinivasacharya, and Srinivasacharya begged him to accept him as a disciple, Gopal Bhatta took him before the deity of Radharaman, and he prayed to Radharaman with great love that, "I offer this devotee at your lotus feet." He was not thinking, "He is mine." The service of the guru is not to possess someone. The service of a guru is to take and prepare that devotee to be an offering at the feet of the previous acharyas and Krishna. And Narottam Das Thakur came to Vrindavan, and his heart naturally was attracted by the devotion of Srila Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami vowed, "I will not take any disciples." He was such an ocean of humility that when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami asked his permission to write Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lokanath Goswami, as well as Gopal Bhatta Goswami, said, "Yes, I will give my blessings and permission under one condition. You do not talk about us in your book." They didn't want fame. They did not want glory. They only wanted service. And then when Rupa and Sanatan Goswami left the world, Lokanath Goswami was plunged in such a ocean of the grief of ecstatic separation. This is very difficult for materialistic people to understand, the ecstatic grief that devotees experience. Because the pain of separation is the greatest ecstasy to the soul, because it increases the connection of our love for the object of our separation. And notice, the separation was felt for the Vaishnavas. The love that these devotees in Vrindavan had for each other was so deep, it was so immense, that they were thoroughly experiencing Krishna in associating with one another. That is how the six Goswamis lived in Vrindavan and their associates. Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he's constantly praying for the mercy and the shelter of the lotus feet of Sanatan Goswami. In fact, he identifies himself as the personification of insignificance at the feet of Sanatan Goswami. This was their love for each other, their respect for each other. So when they left, Lokanath Goswami was very much feeling the pain of their absence. And Narottam Thakur begged him, "Please kindly accept me as your disciple." And Lokanath Goswami said, "There are so many more qualified devotees. I am not accepting disciples." So Narottam, he wanted to serve who he accepted as his guru in his heart. So Lokanath, who was very old, every morning from his little simple bhajan kutir, the little hut, he would do his seva to Radha Vinod, his deities. He would go in the jungles of Brajabhumi near the bank of Jamuna, and he would perform his morning duties, which means responding to nature, passing stool, urine, whatever you want to call it. And then he would go to take his bath in River Jamuna. And Narottam, understand that Narottam, in Kechari Gram, where he was born, his father was the king. he was actually meant to be a prince. His father was fabulously wealthy, multi-millionaire. And he was to inherit everything. He was the only son. But this same Narottam, when his Guru Maharaj would be bathing in river with his own hands, he would very carefully, with an extremely grateful heart, he would clean the urine and stool from the ground and make it very nice so that the next day when Lokanath Goswami came to respond to nature, it was a very, very clean, sanctified place he would come to. And Lokanath Goswami, every day he'd come and he'd see this area so spotlessly clean. And he was thinking, how is this? Who is doing this? So one day, instead of going to Jamuna, he was secretly watching through the bushes. And there he saw a young Narottam come with love, cleaning. And Lokanath came out. What are you doing? What are you doing? You are meant to be a prince. You were born in all opulence. You are such a scholar. You are such an advanced associate of the Lord. Why are you doing this? How could you do this? To be on your hands and knees cleaning another man's stool and urine. He began to cry. And Narottam replied, with tears of love in his eyes, that my dear Guru Maharaj, I have rejected all the wealth and prestige of this world to achieve the supreme treasure of my life. And that supreme treasure is the opportunity to perform such a menial service to a great Vaishnava like you. This is my treasure. This is my life. This is my aspiration. So his sincerity and his genuine humility naturally melted the heart of Lokanath Goswami, who awarded him initiation. And another devotee, his name was Shyamananda Prabhu, he was sent to Vrindavan by his spiritual master, who was living in a place called Ambika Kalna in Bengal. His name was Hridoy Chaitanya. So these three devotees, Srinivas, Narottam, and Shyamanand, they were all living together at the Radha Damodar temple, learning the Goswami's scriptures from Srila Jiva Goswami. And they became the most dear, intimate of all friends. They became so intimate in their friendship that there was no power in the world that could separate them from each other's association. They were constantly absorbed in discussing the Lord's pastimes and teachings, having beautiful kirtans, and performing bhajan. Their love for one another was so intense. When Srinivas Acharya left this world, Narottam wrote that beautiful song of the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas. Praying in separation from such a great soul, I want to just beat my head against a stone in anguish. Although all three of them were completely dedicated to faithfully carrying out their respective spiritual masters' desires and instructions, because their spiritual masters were united within the family of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was no distinction amongst any of them. There was no sectarian party spirit amongst any of them. They were all Lord Chaitanya's family, and they were all brothers. And later on, Narottam Das Thakur's best friend became Ramchandra Kaviraj. And in many songs by Narottam Das, for those who are familiar, he offers his prayers at the lotus feet of his dear friend Ramchandra. Ramchandra was a disciple of Srinivas Acharya, who happened to be the dear friend of Narottam, who was the disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But yet the depth of the intimacy of their love for one another. And yet simultaneously, the utter faithfulness to their own spiritual teachers, guides. So this is the tradition, this is the principle which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers have introduced to the world and sustained over the ages. And this is the mood of cooperation that our own founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada desired that we may all have for all generations in the future. Because without this cooperation, respect, and love for one another as family members of our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada's mission, there is no possibility of this movement really impressing the world. Intelligent people, when they hear our philosophy, they will want to see how it works before they take it seriously. If we want unintelligent people to come, they'll come for some other reason. Prabhupada wanted to attract all people, especially the most sincere and intelligent. And this is actually the test of the validity of our profound philosophy in the eyes of the people of the world. How it can bring all of you to treat each other. And not only outsiders, but also amongst ourselves. I would say most people that leave the movement do not leave because they don't believe in the philosophy. Some leave because they like sense gratification. But those people really don't leave. They just remain devotees, but they enjoy sense gratification. People who actually become disoriented are generally people who leave because they have been disoriented and they've lost their faith in the philosophy because of the way devotees treat each other. They feel if this is the result, what is the use of philosophy? What is the use of all this high talking when we cannot be decent to each other? And these are the types of people that give up Krishna consciousness, often. And this is a great tragedy. This is no fault of the philosophy. This is no fault of the previous acharyas. This is a fault of our own willingness to apply this most sacred principle to our lives. A family where internationally anyone who may be initiated by anyone within Srila Prabhupada's divine mission can come and feel that they have brothers and sisters and can be welcomed with love anywhere in the world. This was Srila Prabhupada's ideal. This was his dream. London was such an important center. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent some sannyasis to London to start a center. Prabhupada went to New York. But when he saw he had six devotees who were very expert at getting things happening in Krishna consciousness, he sent them to London. Because he knew this is what his guru wanted. And when they came here and began preaching, Prabhupada was so proud of them. He actually left everything to come and live in London with them. And the first large installed deities in the whole Hare Krishna movement, Srila Prabhupada worshipped here in London. And then this beautiful, beautiful estate was given. And Srila Prabhupada was so happy. In the Western world, perhaps he spent more time in this building than anywhere else after he started the movement. Los Angeles, perhaps, or Bhaktivedanta Manor. And devotees have been telling me how Prabhupada so much saw Vrindavan here. He didn't see this as London, England. He saw it as Vrindavan. And just as Heathrow Airport is the most busy airport in the world, similarly, Bhaktivedanta manor will naturally be the place where more devotees visit than anywhere else in the world, wherever they're going. But in the recent past, devotees just keep going because they're sad when they come here. But there has been many crises and tragedies that have taken place, and everyone must sympathize and understand. But at the same time, amongst each other, if we understand what is Vaishnav tradition, what is Vaishnav relationships, what is Prabhupada's family really mean, what is the example of Shamanand, Narottam, Srinivas, and their followers, we can create such a wonderful Vaikuntha atmosphere here that not only will all devotees want to come to feel the love and receive the service of the devotees, but the whole world will be inspired. And countless people will simply want to be a part of it. There's no doubt. We have everything. Prasad is the best food. Krishna's name is the best music. The deities are the most beautiful thing for the eyes to see. If we can just treat each other and treat guests in such a way as Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada has taught us, there will be no shortage of anything. No shortage of anything. Krishna will reward our sincere efforts because we're pleasing his devotees. These are some thoughts that I'm humbly sharing with all of you. Thank you very much. Chant and be happy. That was Prabhupada's mantra. Chant and be happy. We're chanting, but sometimes we're not happy. We have to help make each other happy. Inspire one another to remain Krishna conscious. Create an atmosphere where people want to perform their sadhana. And gradually we become purified by the holy name. And then we become happy. Eternally, blissfully happy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. The most precious gift is Krishna's holy name. Of course, on one level, we can give other gifts, just as an expression of our appreciation. But the greatest gift is our example. Our example of being enthusiastic for devotional service. And to be inspired by another person's devotional service. And if we simply follow these six principles, then we will create Vaikuntha wherever we are together. So this is very important. And of course, another thing that is very important as a foundation to our exchanges with Vaishnavas is to have wonderful kirtan together. To take seriously attendance of dancing and chanting with the devotees. This is very essential. And if we simply follow these six loving exchanges and have wonderful regular kirtans together, Haribo, everything will be wonderful. Yes. I'm trying. You see, I'm kind of new to this whole scene, so I do not know if there's any particular boundary that has ever been drawn, but I can tell you what I think. That anybody who believes in Srila Prabhupada and the principles of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is endeavoring in whatever way to try to help Srila Prabhupada's mission, he certainly is within ISKCON. Even if that person is breaking all the regulative principles and doesn't have any sadhana, he might be on a low level. But still, if that person believes in Srila Prabhupada's words and identifies himself as a devotee or herself then I would have to say that that person is certainly a member of ISKCON. And unless we accept such a person, then we will never encourage that person to come to a higher level. Yes? I don't know so many things about this. If such devotees are antagonistic toward the way Prabhupada designed his movement to be led, if people disagree, that's your right to disagree. But if people are outright trying to undermine or antagonistic, then maybe in a very broad sense, they may be part of ISKCON, but they're very dangerous to associate with. So on that level, I think we have to discriminate for protection. We have no disagreement with that. But what I believe is important, which she appeared to be indicating, is devotees who are outwardly rejecting, antagonistic, and very critical of sometimes principles that are very sacred to our disciplic succession. We cannot just accept that and allow those things to be preached within our temples. Srila Prabhupada would have never allowed such things. At that time, there has to be discrimination and there has to be some restriction. But as far as accepting the person as a Vaishnava, that we can always do. Understand? Mm-hmm. Yes. If the instruction is correct, we should accept it. Srila Prabhupada said you can take gold even from a filthy place. We should certainly be humble enough to accept good instruction from whoever it comes from, within the society of devotees especially. But we should know that it is human nature, especially amongst conditioned souls struggling in Krishna consciousness, that if someone speaks to you who you trust and who you feel cares, those words will much easier be assimilated within your heart. That is natural. And therefore we should try to be that type of person to others. Amani namanadena kirtaniya sadahari. We should not expect it ourselves, but we should be to others. My observation over the years is generally devotees who say that in this movement nobody loves each other. Those are devotees who generally never extend themselves to show love to any of their other godbrothers and godsisters. Devotees who say, no one trusts each other, no one trusts me, are usually devotees who don't extend themselves to try to trust others. Devotees who say, no one understands me, are usually devotees who never extend themselves to try to understand others, godbrothers and godsisters. If you make the first step to show your love and to try to understand and give concern to others, you'll be amazed by how many people have love and concern and are trying to understand you. But if you're not willing to give that to others, Krishna actually blinds you from even seeing when it's right there coming to you. Giving affection attracts affection. Any devotee who's very affectionate and trying to extend their love to others, you'll see so many people love them and show affection to them. Huh? It's natural. So we should not be so concerned with how people are loving us. We should be concerned how we're trying to love them. We should not be concerned with how many people are caring about us. We should be concerned with how am I caring about the Vaishnavas. We should not be so concerned with how everyone is inspiring me. We should try to inspire them, even if we're new devotees. According to our capacity, we should try to give of ourselves. This is a preaching movement. And then you will be miraculously amazed how much is coming to you as well. Yes. No, it is the major stumbling block is making that a priority. Whatever we make a priority will definitely be accomplished. This movement is all powerful. But we've just made so many other priorities that we've forgotten each other. That's all that's required. We're so busy making so many grand arrangements for so many grand projects. But when people come to the grand project, there's no one home. There's nothing inside. We have to make that a priority. At a particular time to get this movement started, Srila Prabhupada, his love and affection was so powerful that it could nourish and keep everyone ecstatic and enlivened. And he sent people all around to do so many wonderful things. And if you talk to devotees from the early days in all the temples, Berry Street, Henry Street in New York, 26 Second Avenue, all these early temples, the devotees had such deep friendships. But then gradually, so many priorities came that distracted devotees from each other, where it was actually considered maya to spend time with each other. I remember many times being severely chastised for talking to a god brother because I was distracting him from his service when I was a brahmachari. Anyways, we have to shift the priorities back to the natural Krishna conscious priorities, and this is one of the greatest priorities according to Rupa Goswami, according to all of our acharyas. If we just do that, make it a priority through our preaching and through our life, then the most wonderful relationships will be amongst devotees, because it's based on the deepest, most solid spiritual, philosophical grounds and realizations. Yes. Well, we find within our tradition great souls like Bhaktivinoda Thakur always claimed himself to be most fallen. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he claimed that the worm and stool has a position in his stool. But I have no position. Therefore, I am lower and more insignificant than a worm and stool. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Ramananda Rai was praising him, that whatever I am speaking, you are speaking through me. My tongue is like a stringed instrument, and you are the master musician making these sounds come through it. After he was speaking the highest truths of Radha and Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya's reply was, no, no, I am just an insignificant fallen Mayavadi sannyasi, but I'm learning so much from you. And Prabhupada explains that these devotees, they meant it. They were not just saying it to get the prestige of being humble. They actually felt it. So rather than hiding behind a mask of trying to portray ourselves as great, we should actually portray ourselves in a humble way as being fallen servants of the Lord. It doesn't mean we should practice being fallen. We should be very strict. But this principle should be there, that we should be very honest, we should be very humble. We should not try to portray ourselves as something we're not. But as a service to the devotees, as humble service, we should be as exemplary as possible to give them strength and inspiration. Not as a matter of prestige, but as a matter of service. But we should be honest. Very important. Especially in association with dear friends amongst Vaishnavas. Otherwise, if you keep this mask on, you'll be totally isolated and alone in this world. And that's a very painful and dangerous situation to be in. Yes? What should I say? Well, it depends on what level our consciousness is. We have to deal with every situation or obstacle. On one level, we should actually be grateful. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said we should be grateful to those who criticize us and even who misjudge us, because they're helping us to become humble. And the best example was Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He was living so strictly and perfectly according to the principles of sannyas. But Ramchandra Puri was such an envious rascal, so offensive, that he was constantly criticizing Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates. One day he came in and saw Lord Chaitanya eating prasad, which a devotee was offering him, and he was accepting it out of love. What kind of sannyasi are you? You are eating what 10 men can't eat. You are bogus. Lord Chaitanya said, yes, he's right. From now on, you just give me one handful of simple boiled rice. So then he was just eating every day, one handful of simple boiled rice. And the devotees were being tortured to see the Lord performing these austerities. And then Ramchandra Puri came to his room and saw some ants crawling on the floor. He said, what a hypocrite! What a liar! What bogus! He appears to be eating only rice, but there are ants on the floor. That means he's secretly hiding in his room and eating sweets. And therefore these ants are coming to pick up the crumbs. And Lord Chaitanya just, yes, very nice. And the devotees were very angry. And he said, no, he's teaching me how to be a good devotee. He never objected. So if you can be like that, you will go back to Godhead very quickly. But if you cannot, I remember one devotee spoke to one of my godbrothers. That devotee asked, why am I always being blamed for things I didn't do? And he was told, because in a previous life, you took credit for things you didn't do. So now the reaction is you have to get blamed for what you didn't do. So it might be your karma too. The most important thing that you can know is when you're severely misunderstood, your heart should bleed to anyone else who's being misunderstood, because you know what it feels like, and it should help you to be more understanding. Huh? That's a very positive way to respond. And of course, you have a right to explain the truth of the situation. But it should be done not necessarily to defend yourself, but it should be done because such scandalous talk that is not true is not healthy in the society of Vaishnavas. And if by speaking honestly you can clear up misconceptions, that is also a service. That is one level of dealing with it. When Srivas Thakur was having kirtan in his house, Gopal Chapala came and set up all the puja for Durga in front of his house. Blood and goat's flesh and all sorts of other terrible things. And then Gopal Chapala presented to the village of Navadvip, "See, Srivas, what a rascal. He portrays himself as a great Vaishnav, but look what he does at night. He does tantric, ignorant type of puja to Durga." And Srivas came out and said, "Yes, I have been exposed. You see what I do at night. I worship Durga." And nobody believed. Everybody said, "Oh, this Gopal Chapala must be lying. Srivas would not do this." "No, I'm doing, just see." He didn't deny. It's a very high level. Amani na manadena kirtaniya sadhari. That's why Srivas could chant the holy names all night long. He had such humility, such devotion. He honored Gopal Chapala, who was attacking him, trying to destroy him. He honored that man and forgave him. That is what we should strive for. But in the meanwhile, we should tolerate it for our purification. But we have every right to speak the truth and try to clarify misunderstandings. That's the best I can do to answer your question. One last question. I'll try to repeat it. It's quite a fascinating question. That we're talking about honesty, but some devotees, they're practicing Krishna consciousness, but they actually have so many material desires. So they think it's being honest to not suppress them, but just try to be honest and admit I have those desires and try to fulfill them. Is that your question? Is that honesty? That's honesty in the mode of ignorance. But we are seeking higher truths. You cannot properly seek truth unless you're being truthful. And honesty means to admit that we're fallen souls, to be humble and be honest, especially with our near and dear God brothers or God sisters, how we're struggling, but we should continue to struggle. We have the instructions of Guru and Krishna. We've made vows before Guru and Krishna. We should do everything within our power to be faithful to those vows and to be faithful to those instructions. We should not justify breaking them for any reason. But simultaneously, we could be honest about our inner difficulties that we're having in doing it. And our honesty should be not just to bother people by telling all the dirty things in our mind, but our honesty should be presented seeking help. We should be honest with devotees to seek help, to help give strength. We shouldn't be honest just to put all our garbage on someone else. There has to be a spiritual and humble purpose behind it. That is real honesty. And being honest in that way is a service. Does that answer your question? So I thank all of you so much for tolerating me till these late hours of the night. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.